Hello and welcome to Wattcast. My name is Roger Watson, and these podcasts are dedicated to readings of various articles that I've had published in newspapers and magazines. They reflect my views on politics, the pandemic, and current affairs. Thank you very much for listening. What is really going on in India? This is my Unity News Network column of 30th of April 2021. In Orwell's 1984, Oceania is always at war with someone. It matters not who, but the citizens of Oceania are frequently informed by the Ministry of Truth that the war is going well. Our own Ministry of Truth, still referred to by some as the BBC, continues to report on the false war against COVID-19. Having long since abandoned their independence and neutrality, they report the bits the UK government agrees to let them broadcast. They alternately raise and then dash the hopes of the population that the war is going well or not. It's all designed to maintain people in a high state of anxiety about the likelihood of getting infected with the deadly virus and cowed into submission over draconian restrictions to human rights, including freedoms of movement, association, and speech. The blatancy of the doublespeak, another Orwellian concept, is staggering. Simultaneously, the vaccine rollout is a huge success, but it was not responsible for lowering the number of people infected with COVID-19. The pandemic is over, but continued restrictions to our freedoms are required. It's frequently reported that people are compromising on some aspects of the restrictions, and some people are ignoring them completely. Of course they are. We're human, and we need to socialise. But I've long been convinced that in this great experiment in social control, that the UK government is just having too much fun and they simply do not want to stop. And the coronavirus is the great gift that just keeps on giving. One day it's a mutant strain, then it's a handful of cases blown up out of proportion. If they've none of these tenuous facts at hand, they simply make something up, such as working in a pub is dangerous, flying in a plane is dangerous, and sporting events are dangerous. For not one of these is there any evidence. The number of bar staff who caught COVID-19 is but a handful, and it's impossible to know where they became infected. All the air on a plane is not circulated, as commonly misapprehended. 50% of it is laminar. It comes in from the engines where it's purified and is vented out to the atmosphere, thus posing no risk to anyone on the plane. The remaining 50% is filtered through high-grade filters and is reportedly as pure as the air in an operating theatre, and continually being diluted by the purified air coming in. Nothing could be safer microbiologically. Also, there's no evidence of COVID-19 outbreaks linked to being a passenger on a plane. There was only one case of COVID-19 linked to the much criticised 2020 Cheltenham Festival. The government was running out of ways to scare us, and then, just in time, along came India. We're now deluged by the mainstream media, the Ministry of Truth leading the charge, with daily updates on the COVID-19 figures from India, infections, hospitalisations and deaths. It's even better that many Indians are cremated and not buried, thus we're treated to lines of shrouded bodies awaiting their turn on the bonfire, a sight that would frighten even the most resilient. It's hard to escape the conclusion that this is being done to prepare us for continued or reintroduced lockdowns. We're provided with daily estimates of the death rates. If they're accurate, then the figures are staggering. But a reality check will tell anyone that the size of the population of India is also staggering. 1.366 billion compared with 66.65 million in the UK. If the number of deaths in India is contextualised, they're getting off lightly compared with the UK. Our peak daily deaths allegedly due to COVID-19 were just under 2,000. A comparable number in India would be over 50,000, yet we're seeing fewer than 3,000 deaths daily. But the mainstream media report this as if it were Armageddon. Every possible angle is used to magnify the nature of the pandemic in India. Overwhelmed hospitals, funeral pyres and rows of coffins. Of course the hospitals are overwhelmed, they are most of the time in India, but when the pressure is on, a system with only 0.5 hospital beds per 1,000 people, compared with 2.5 per 1,000 in the UK, is going to struggle. I can find no way of knowing how many bodies are usually cremated or burned daily in the crematoriums and graveyards shown. I was always under the impression that both had a brisk trade in India. An Indian gravedigger interviewed on the BBC World Service on 28 April said that the number of deaths being reported due to COVID-19 was 50% of the real figure. Well, I must have missed the part of the interview where we were told from which university he graduated in medicine and epidemiology. Rows of coffins are always a good reminder that death stalks a land, but this is not new, and the news last year related to the mass graves at Hart Island off New York City was an excellent example of fake news. The number of burials on the island did increase during the pandemic, but it was being portrayed as a new phenomenon when the island has been in continuous use as a burial site for the daily toll of the homeless, the dispossessed and the unclaimed who die on the streets of New York City and are buried unceremoniously in mass graves. Something's happening in India, I do not doubt it, and it's likely to get much worse. Despite the fact that they choose to have a space program costing over $500 million annually, rather than investing in more hospital beds, I think we should do what we can to help. Poverty, malnutrition and overcrowding are the order of the day in the major cities, providing a fertile soil for viral infection and spread. But for God's sake, don't send them Professors Ferguson, Whitty, Valance or any members of SAGE. India already has enough problems.
This podcast was produced in association with youthpublications.com.